1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 to 8. We are continuing from last week in our discussion of humility and its evil twin pride. So we will continue with that this morning and finish that discussion. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 8, Peter quotes Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That is a proverb that's repeated several times in the New Testament. It's repeated here at 1 Peter chapter 5. It's repeated in James chapter 4 and verse 6. In the book of Matthew chapter 23 and verse 12, the concept is there where Jesus says, "For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." This is such an important topic for the believer. This is such an important quality for you and I as believers in Jesus Christ to be developing in our lives and allowing God to develop in our lives, and that is the quality of humility. And it is so important because when Peter quotes Proverbs 3:34, God opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble, as we saw last week, those are present tense verbs. Now, what's the importance of that? The importance of that is this is God's ongoing activity. God's ongoing activity is to oppose the proud. If we exhibit pride in our lives, we are inviting God to oppose us. I don't know about you, but I don't want to do that. If we are exhibiting pride in our lives, we are inviting God to oppose us. On the other hand, if we're allowing Him to develop the grace of humility in our lives, He is giving us more grace. And the bottom line is we'll be able to relate well to one another. We'll be able to serve one another without competing with one another or being jealous of one another. So many things can come out of this for us. Well, last week we talked about humility. We defined humility. Today I want to do two things. I want to talk about the dangers of pride, and I want to talk about how is it that we can have God develop humility in our lives. As I said last week, humility isn't the sort of thing you wake up in the morning and say, "I'm going to be humble today." You know, it doesn't work that way. So how does God develop humility in your life and in my life? So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to look at the dangers of pride, and then we're going to look at how humility is developed in our lives. Now, we mentioned last week that the pride is dangerous because it is, as C.S. Lewis said, the essential sin, because it is the sin that first sin that Satan committed when he turned away from God. It is the sin of Satan that is repeated over and over and over again. It is the sin that tripped up Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, is the sin of pride. I want you to turn with me to an Old Testament passage, the prophet Isaiah. If you get to the Psalms, you'll and start paging toward the back of your Old Testament, you'll come upon Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and then you'll get to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, I'd like you to look at Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. Though this is written to the Babylonians and to the king of Babylon, it is commonly understood because of Jesus' statement in Luke chapter 10 and verse 18. This passage is commonly understood to be ultimately referring not to the king of Babylon, but to referring to Satan himself. "How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nations, you said in your heart," and here's the pride, "I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." The sin that brought Satan down was the sin of pride. The sin of pride. And ultimately, it's the sin that also brought sin into our world, because Satan goes to Adam and Eve, and by the way, that is a literal passage. It's not an analogy. It's not an allegory. It is a literal happening. Satan goes to Adam and Eve in the garden. And by the way, if you wonder why I believe that's literal, Jesus believed it's literal. Paul believed it's literal. They're enough for me. They're all I need. I don't need any other evidences. Satan goes to Adam and Eve in the garden and questions God's word and tells them, if you eat of the fruit God told you not to eat of, you will become like God. You see the pride? You see the reflection of Satan's own thinking that caused him to fall earlier? The reflection of Satan's own thinking is found in that you will be like God. God wants to withhold something good from you. That's why he won't let you partake of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And therefore, he wants to keep something from you. But if you want to be like him, just eat. And when they ate, you know what happened. Sin came into the world. Death came into the world. Pride brings with it destruction. Pride brings with it destruction. Now I want to share just a couple of from a couple of Proverbs and from Jeremiah about what pride produces in a life. A life that is living pridefully, a person who is living pridefully, there are certain things that will be produced in that life. If you are in Isaiah, then please just go toward the front of your Old Testament and look for the book of Proverbs and look at Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 2. Proverbs 11 and verse 2. When pride comes, then comes what? Disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. Pride leads to shame. Pride leads to disgrace in our lives. We believe that it sets us apart from others, but the scripture is saying that pride, rather than setting us apart in a good way, sets us apart in a bad way, because it leads to shame and it leads to disgrace. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10. Pride only breeds what? Quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Pride leads to contention. Pride leads to quarrels with other people because we are having to prove we're better than them, or we're having to prove we're as good as them. And so pride produces that in us, and pride divides us from other people. And rather than causing us to help other people, be concerned about other people, pride divides us from other people. There was a great illustration of that. I want to thank God because he provides me with illustrations through my daily devotions. I love that. If you're a teacher of the Word of God, one of the reasons you always start early, like, you know, we used to tell Sunday school teachers when I was doing Sunday school training years ago, we tell them the time you start to prepare is not Saturday night or early Sunday morning. The time you start to prepare is the Sunday before your teaching. So if you're a greenhouse teacher here, the time you start is the Sunday before your teaching. Because what that does for you, and okay, this is the little rabbit trail, all right? Come with me on the trail, okay? You start the week before, and this is true whether you're teaching adults, whether you're teaching kids in the greenhouse, whoever you're teaching. You start the week before, and what happens is God gives you things throughout the week. God gives you illustrations. God gives you quotes. God gives you ideas throughout the week. You can gel. If you wait till Saturday night, or if you wait till an hour before your study or a day before your study, there, think of how much more God could have brought into your life. 2 days ago, I'm reading in the Daily Bread. That's one of the four or five devotionals I'd like to read every day. And I'm almost addicted to devotionals. You know, it's I read the Word of God, then I read 3 in the morning, 2 when I get here. It's wild. Okay. The daily bread, that's what we were talking about. Just on yesterday, September 12th, this is the, how many of you read the daily bread? Good. Then you saw this yesterday, so you don't have to pay attention. All right. Some years ago, my wife Carol and I spent a few days camping on the flanks of Mount Rainier in Washington State. When we were returning to our campsite one evening, we saw in the middle of a meadow two male bears boxing each other's ears. We stopped to watch, which I thought was crazy to begin with. But at any rate, we stopped to watch. There was a hiker nearby, and I asked him what the conflict was about, and he said a young female. "Where is she?" I asked. "Oh, she left about 20 minutes ago," he chuckled. Thus, I gathered the conflict at this point was not about the female bear, but about being the toughest bear. Right? Okay. But this is a great point that was made. Most fights aren't about policy and principle or about right and wrong. They're almost always about pride. What a great statement. Most fights aren't about policy and principle or about right and wrong. They're almost always about pride. The wise man of Proverbs swings his axe, and by the way, this is a commentary in the passage I just read to you, Proverbs 13:10. The wise man of Proverbs swings his axe at the root of the problem when he writes, "Pride leads to conflict. Quarrels are fueled by pride, by needing to be right, by wanting our way, or by defending our turf or our egos." On the other side, wisdom resides with the well-advised, those who listen and learn. And we'll have a lot more to say about listening in a little bit and humility. Those who listen and learn, those who allow themselves to be instructed. There is wisdom in those who humble themselves, those who set aside their own selfish ambition, who acknowledge the limits of their own understanding, who listen to the other person's point of view, who allow their own ideas to be corrected. This is the wisdom from God that spreads peace wherever it goes. A person who lives by pride is a contentious person, a quarrelsome person, whereas humility brings peace. Well, Proverbs 15:25, we read this: "The Lord tears down the proud man's house, but he keeps the widow's boundaries intact." Now that's another warning to us. The Lord tears down the proud man's house. Do we want God opposing us? Do we want God tearing down our house, whether it's a literal house or a figurative house? Do we want God doing that? I don't. But when we don't deal with pride in our lives, when we don't allow God to develop humility, that's exactly what happens. Now, there are others. You know the scripture, pride goes before a fall. I don't have time to turn, but Jeremiah 43:2 says that pride leads to contempt for God's word. Pride leads to rejection of God's ministers. Jeremiah chapter 43, verse 2. Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 16 says that pride leads to self-deception. Pride leads to self-deception. Now, what are the sources of pride in our lives? Well, one source of pride in our lives, and it's a wrong kind of thinking about our gifts or our talents. That is a source of pride. It is nothing wrong, and we talked about this last week about false humility. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging that you have a gift from God, whatever that gift may be. If it's a gift of teaching, a gift of serving other people, a gift of caring, empathy, sympathy for other people. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging, I have that gift, and that gift is from God, and I'm thankful for it. There's nothing wrong with that. If you have talent for playing an instrument or singing a song, whatever, there's nothing wrong with acknowledging that talent, because you're acknowledging that talent comes from God. It's not me. But for some people, their gifts and their talents become a source of the wrong kind of pride. I like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, 6, and 7. Now, brothers, I've applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond what is written. Then you will not take pride in one man over against another. For who makes you, and this is the key, for who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? I love that, don't you? What do you have in your life that you didn't receive from God? Nothing. 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 What do you have that you didn't receive? And if you received it, why do you boast as if you didn't? See, our gifts and our talents can be a source of humility, but they can just as easily be a source of pride. A source of pride. Another source of pride is that of knowledge, that of knowledge. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. Now about food sacrifice to idols, we know that we all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. It's good to have knowledge of the Word of God. It's good to have just knowledge in general. We should be Christians, I think, above all people, should be learning people. And if you're not sure about that, read Gordon MacDonald's Ordering Your Private World. And mental endurance is one of the categories he talks about, and the need for us to gain in knowledge. To gain in knowledge. I think Christians should be at the top of their class. But knowledge can be a source of pride. And when we go after knowledge for knowledge's sake, knowledge puffs up rather than building up. Knowledge puffs up rather than helping us to be more loving to one another. Second Corinthians, I don't have time to turn all these. You can write them down. Second Corinthians 10. Verse 12, verse 18 says, a source of pride is when we compare ourselves with others. When we compare ourselves with others, that becomes a source of pride. I'm going to talk a lot about that in just a moment. I have a couple of charts to share with you. 1 Timothy 3, 6 says, don't tap a new believer to become an elder, or they may become prideful and fall like Satan did because of pride. Sources of pride are gifts, our talents, knowledge, comparing ourselves with others, position. 1 Timothy 6:17, again, write it down. You can check it out later. Says that riches can be a source of pride. Riches can be a source of pride. So pride is dangerous. There are several sources of pride, and pride exhibits itself in a couple of ways. There's three ways. The first is this: pride exhibits itself in both low self-worth, that is, an inferiority complex. We don't normally think of that as pride, and yet I'm going to show you in a minute how it very much is pride. And then pride exhibits itself in an inflated self-worth. Now, if we could put up the first chart. There are two charts. This is the wrong view of self, wrong views of self. And then the second next chart will be the right view of self. And I developed this chart years and years ago, I think, from I'll have to try to give you the source of this. I'm having trouble remembering. The Measure of a Man by Gene Getz. I think the ideas in this chart came from him. Not the chart. I just developed the chart. I like to think in pictures. I don't know about you, but I like to think in pictures. And so many times when I get a thought or I read somebody, I try to develop a chart from what they say. And I think this came from thoughts from the book The Measure of the Man by Gene Getz. Pride exhibits itself in two ways. Pride manifests itself in a low view. That is the view that I am nothing. This is the person who says, I am nothing. It's often seen as low self-esteem. It's seen as an inferiority complex. That's actually a manifestation of self, because in that you're focusing on whom? Yourself. See, that's what pride is, focusing on yourself. Humility is the freedom from having to focus on yourself. So when you say, I'm nothing, and you have low self-esteem and an inferiority complex, that is really comes from self, not from God. When you have that low view of yourself, it causes you to react certain ways to other people, and you react in a prideful way. How do you react? You become jealous of them because you think they're better than you, and you're less than them, so you have to be jealous of them. Jealous of their position, jealous of what they have. Jealousy becomes a part of your life. And on the low view, I'm nothing, you need approval from other people, because that verifies that you're not nothing, but you think you're nothing. So you need approval from other people. The person who is exhibiting this kind of pride craves attention from other people. They just have to have the attention from other people, because other people prop them up. They're not craving attention from God. They're not craving the kind of attention that will really build them up. Rather, they're craving the kind of attention that other people give them. But the problem is that attention comes and goes. So when people are building you up, you feel okay. When they're not building you up, what's wrong with them? What's wrong with me? This kind of pride is threatened by others' success. They should not rise above me. And so it's threatened by others' success. The bottom line for the person who out of pride says, I am nothing, is they're not free to minister to other people. They're not free to serve other people, because they're always comparing themselves and competing with other people. The other side of the coin, the high view, the I am something side, is seen as exalted self-esteem or a superiority complex. In both of these positions, I am nothing, I am something, both of them focusing on what person? Me. Me. That's why they're a manifestation of self. The first question they ask is, what's my need? Not what's your need. But what is my need? How does that exhibit itself in relationships with others? Well, the person who thinks they are better than everybody else has contempt for other people, because they're not as good as me. The person who says, I am something, and this is the one we commonly think of as pride, the person who says, I am something, doesn't need approval, but they're so self-sufficient they don't need other people. And God says, you and I need each other. The person who has this high view also craves attention. That's what I find interesting. If you look at the bottom of the chart, so many things are the same, whether you have the low view or the high view. You crave attention, because that person who has the high view, they crave attention because it just verifies what they already think. Like the low view, that person is threatened by others' success. Not that they shouldn't rise above my level, but they shouldn't gain on me. They shouldn't gain on me. Bottom line again for the high view is that person is not free to minister, because they're always proving they're better than somebody else. You see, that's the destruction of pride. The destruction of pride divides us from other people and keeps us from ministering to other people the way we ought to minister to other people. That's why I think that Peter is dealing with this in 1 Peter chapter 5. He's dealt with how leaders should act. Now he's dealing with how the church should act. Now, the second chart is the right view of self. If we could have that one. There we go. The right view of self. In the right view of self, it's God has made me what I am. God has made me what I am. That's where I start. That's where I start. My gifts, my talents, who I am, how I am, my personality, God made me. And he made me what I am. So it's not self-image, but Christ's image. And that gives us a proper self-esteem. That gives us a proper self-esteem because we're seeing ourselves through God's eyes. We're seeing ourselves in relationship to Jesus Christ. So we have a proper view of ourselves and a proper self-esteem. See, that kind of view, faith's view, is a manifestation of Christ's likeness because my main question is, what is your need, not what is my need? Now, how does this person with a right view of self, how are they, and that produces humility in their lives as a product of faith, how do they act toward other people? Well, toward other people, they're not jealous, not contemptible, not contempt of other people, but you are what God has made you. I'm what God has made you, you're what God has made you, and I'm happy for you. I don't have to be jealous of you. I don't have to compete with you. I'm happy for you because God made you that way. Now, I may see things in other people, and I always do, that I would love to emulate in my life, but I don't say, oh, why wasn't I like that? Why didn't God make me that way? I am what God made me. I am what God made me, and I'm trying to grow and grow in His knowledge and grow in the way He wants me to be. Then you're what God made you. So it's not jealousy, it's not contempt. I am content because you are what God made you. Instead of craving attention from somebody else, I can give attention to somebody else. Instead of being threatened by you or threatened by your success, I'm not threatened by that because I'm thankful that God's making you successful. The bottom line of humility, of faith, humility is a product of faith. The bottom line is that I'm free to minister because I'm not trying to prove anything. I'm not trying to prove I'm better than you. I'm not trying to prove I'm as good as you. I'm not trying to prove anything. I just want to be what God made me, and I want you to be what God made you. So, pride exhibits itself in both low self-esteem, the inferiority complex, as well as inflated self-worth. Pride exhibits itself in an attitude that says, I always know what's best. You want to know what's best? Ask me. Pride exhibits itself in manipulating others to do things your way because you know better. Those are some ways pride exhibits itself in always talking and not listening. Always talking and not listening. Those are some ways that pride exhibits itself. Now, there is a right kind of pride, and I want to share this with you because I think it's a fantastic section of the Word of God. It's in Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, and it tells us the right kind of pride. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 9. Verses 23 and 24, let not the wise boast in their, what? Wisdom. Let not the wise boast in their wisdom. Let not the rich boast in their riches. Let not the strong man boast in his strength, but let those who boast, boast in this, that they understand and know me, I am the Lord. Whoa! Are you rich? Don't boast in that. Are you strong? Don't boast in that. I could crush you. No. Are you wise? Don't boast in that. Can I boast in anything? Yeah, you can. You can boast in this, that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's something to boast about. That's something to boast about. Well, that's the dangers of pride. Well, what about developing humility? We'll just get into this a little bit, finish it next week. But how do I allow God to develop? Again, humility is not something I say, well, I'm going to be humble today. That's not the way it works. So how do I participate with God in allowing Him to develop humility in my life? Number one, I realize and accept my position in Jesus Christ. I realize and accept my position in Jesus Christ. By the way, I'm not a big fan of steps, you know, 5 steps to holiness, 10 steps to, well, you know, whatever. I'm not a big fan of those because I don't think life happens in steps. I really don't. But If you think that you are dealing with a pride issue, or if you think that you need to develop humility in your life, I really think these steps would be good. So if you want to take these as steps, I'm good with that. I'm good with that. First and foremost, that we might develop humility in our lives, we should realize and accept our position in Christ. Realize and accept our position in Christ. Find satisfaction in that. Find satisfaction in the fact that I belong to God. I'm His. I'm His to do with as He pleases. So I find my satisfaction in God. I am accepted in the Beloved One. If other people accept me, that's nice, but I don't need it. My worth doesn't depend on other people needing me. So I don't have to go crazy seeking acceptance from others. I'm already accepted by God. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I'm already accepted by God. So I don't need to seek acceptance from others. I don't need to be noticed by others all the time. In fact, I can stand not being noticed and it doesn't hurt me. Because I realize and I accept my position in Jesus Christ. Let me share quickly from Compact Guide to the Christian Life. I mentioned it last week or the week before. If you don't have your copy of that, please see Steve. He'll make sure you get a copy. They say this, and I love this. You can say no to the lure of power when you're convinced that belonging to God is what really makes you important. You can resist harmful desires, sex, food, status, when you know you don't need to use them to fill up a craving for love or respect. You'll still have desires, legitimate ones like physical safety and respect from people, and excessive ones like wanting a lot of pleasure and admiration from everyone on earth, but they won't have such power over you when you know you can live without them. Isn't that great? That's the key. You know you can live without them. Realize and accept our position in Jesus Christ. Secondly, we'll do one more and then we'll sing our closing song. realize that all I have, all I am, this is step two, okay? Realize that all I have, all I am, all I've done are from God's hand, are from God's hand. My gifts, my talent, my knowledge, my position, my money, my home, whatever it is, realize, acknowledge that all I have, all I am, and all I've done are from God's hands. Now, next week we'll get three more, but you're going to have to come back for that. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, help us to be convinced of the importance of humility. It's not a trait our world really looks up to. In fact, it's quite the opposite in our world. Our world is impressed with a boastful. Our world is impressed with a me-first crowd. Help us rather, Father, to be convinced of what your word says. And help us to be those who are free to minister, free to care for other people, free to know that we don't have to compete. People who are free from self, who realize that it's a fantastic thing that we are accepted in you, and that all we have, all we are, all we do, come from you. We thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.